Good morning. It is good to see you. We are so glad to have you here. Guests, we are honored to have you, and we would love for you to come and be a regular part of the life of this church. We want to get to know you better. We want to worship with you. We want to serve beside you. And if you have questions about that, you can catch me. You can catch one of the other leaders of this church. We hope you'll get connected in a class, in a life group, which take place in homes on Sunday nights. It's a great way to get connected. Adam, I don't know where you're sitting, but thank you for your words. I still haven't seen you. Oh yeah, you're right in front of us. Thank you for your words. You wrecked me right there at the beginning. So I love that. What's that? Yeah, you pulled a Bert. Started crying, in case you don't know what he's talking about. I'm known to do that from time to time, and I was doing that while you were talking, so I've got no shame in admitting that at all. I appreciated that. If you have your Bible, open up to Psalm 32, and you'll find it on the screen behind me as well. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. It was 1984, and I was 12 years old when the movie Gremlins came out. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand if you saw it, because it's more than 30 years old at this time, and there's probably a dividing line within this church. But there is a young man that receives a gift, and it is this cute, unique little creature that's named as Gizmo, if you haven't seen it. He's adorable, he's sweet, he's cuddly, but he comes with some very strict instructions. And with the instructions come a warning: if you do not follow these instructions, something dire will occur. Well, you know, as a moviegoer, that if you're introduced to this cute little creature who gets these strict instructions and they warn that something really dire can occur if you don't follow the instructions, you know someone's about to break the rules and things are going to turn ugly. And that's exactly what happened. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I won't try to describe everything, but there's something about don't let the creature come in contact with water. And of course, he comes in contact with water, and all these other little creatures are spawned from him, and then some of the others who come in contact with water. And there's another one, and it is, do not feed them after midnight. And when you feed them after midnight, then they go from cute little creatures like that, and they end up looking like this. Let's show the next slide. Not quite as adorable, is it? Or sweet. And so the rest of the movie is when hundreds and then thousands of these things, these gremlins, are running amok through a town. And it seems that the gremlins' sole purpose in life is to wreak havoc, to terrorize people, to tear things up, to hurt others in the process. But there is one thing that defeats the Gremlins. Those of you who remember the movie, do you remember what it is? That's a big fat no. No one. No one. Can we edit that out of the sermon, that that's not online when you hear that? Light. Bright light. Bright light. If the creatures come in contact with light, if they are exposed to the light, then they not just lose their power, but they are actually defeated. So I want you to hear these words from John in John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light, Jesus, has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Just like these gremlins that run amok in the night and in the darkness, sin thrives in darkness. Addictions run wild in secrecy. Our destructive cravings go unchecked in the shadows. Our meanness, our prejudice, our divisiveness, our arrogance, it goes untamed in the dark anonymity or distant interactions that can happen online. Greed grows if it stays in the shadows of sameness. That is, if we only hang around other people who have pretty much as much as we have or more than we have and never have to be exposed to those who have less and struggle to get by. Sin in all its forms flourishes if we don't face it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't admit it, if we don't expose it, if it stays hidden in darkness. But I also want us to acknowledge that there are all kinds of other gremlins that wreak havoc in the shadows of our lives, that run rampant in the darkness. And it's not just the sins that we commit. It's all the rest of the fallout that occurs in a broken world. The gremlins that can run rampant in the midst of our sorrow, in our pain, in our depression, that we can never seem to get a handle on. The gremlins that can be out of control stress that we don't know how to tame. It's the gremlins that can be perpetual grief and loss and the kind of thing that we feel like we have to face alone. It can be our loneliness, this sense that we can be surrounded by others, but we're still isolated in our lives. Gremlins can be convincing ourselves that no one would understand if we really share who we are. No one can relate. No one will respect me or truly want to be my friend if they knew, if they found out, if they found out about our money problems, or they found out about our marriage problems, or they found out I'm miserable in my job and I'm kind of miserable in my life. Better not admit it. Better leave it in the shadows. It's better to just keep on pretending. Gremlins can be all the destructive self-talk, the kind of stuff that you don't say out loud, but you say in your head over and over. I'm not enough. Not smart enough, successful enough, attractive enough, thin enough, popular enough, wealthy enough, young enough, good enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. The gremlins can be the wounds and the scars that you bear because of someone else's sins and selfishness that they have inflicted on you. the pain that you didn't look for, the hurt that you didn't ask for, the wounds that you didn't bring about, but that you now bear. And you fear you have to bear them alone. So this morning, I want to talk about the spiritual practice or developing a spiritual practice that is meant to bring all of that out of the shadows and out of the darkness and into the light where we can find greater healing and hope and help. I'm talking about developing the regular practice of confession. Now, we talked a few weeks ago about confession in more of a sense of a private and personal discipline that we develop. And that is important and that is critical. And if that's something that you want to learn more about, I can give you the handout that we used a couple of weeks ago, or you can find that in the e-notes that was sent. But this morning, I want us to talk about the power of confession where we involve others around us, where we open up to another person or people in our lives. James 5:16 encourages us with this: confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the majority of the prayer requests that we share when we get together in church kinds of settings, the topic of those, the content of those, is primarily focused on physical healing, right? If you look through our bulletin, most of the names that are in there are for loved ones, people we care about, and we're praying for physical healing, which is good and appropriate. And in fact, James spends several verses talking about that and encouraging that, encouraging the church to be a place where you're praying for the physical healing of those around you. And so I'm not downplaying that in any sense. But what James is showing, but what we see through the rest of Scripture, is that God is interested in a broader kind of healing than just physical healing. And God is offering a broader kind of healing than just physical healing. And in fact, God is calling the church to be a people who pursue a bigger kind of healing, a more holistic healing than just physical healing. It's the kind of healing that we need in our hearts, the kind of healing that we need in our relationships, the kind of healings that we need in our interaction, in our sense of purpose. It is not just our bodies that are broken. It's not just our bodies that are hurting or sick. And if we are going to continue to be about the business of holistic healing of all that we are, then we have to get real about it. And we have to be willing to confess it. And confession doesn't mean that sin immediately goes away when we expose it to the light, but it does lose some of its power because sin flourishes when we fear what other people would say, when we fear sharing what we're struggling with and going through. Sin has a stronger foothold in those shadows of shame. But when we confess, others can help, others can support, others can share their own struggles. Others sharing reminds us that we're not alone and we don't have to go it alone. And I'm not just talking about the kind of confession that we see every once in a while when someone shares something with the entire church. Although, if you ever have a time when you want the whole church to pray over you, we're eager to do that. We're happy to do that. But there's a reason why that doesn't happen very often. And yet most of us need more of those times to be honest, to open up, than just the times when we might come forward and share with the whole church. And so my first challenge to you is this, and it's really an invitation. Find a person or a few people, if you don't already have these people in your life, with whom you can be truly, fully honest on a more regular basis. And I would tell you that that can be a counselor, and there can be great work that happens with that, or that can be a minister, and there can be great work that happens with that. But I'm talking about something more on the front lines of your life. A friend who walks with you and you walk with them. That we don't just have to relegate these sorts of conversations to professionals, although that can be good. But it's just the people who are right there with us. So seek to form and develop friendships in which authenticity in the good and the bad and the ugly is a part of the relationship. And if the word confession kind of hangs you up, I don't know how much confessing I want to do, then just try this. Try committing to complete honesty. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm going to be real with you. You're going to be real with me. I'm going to open up to you. And I'm going to trust you. And it takes some wisdom choosing who those people will be. That you don't throw your pearls to swine, as Jesus would say, that they are trampled. There's wisdom in choosing those people who are safe to open up to. But find those people and together commit to a relationship of honesty and encouragement where you say, I'm going to support you in your efforts to live out the Jesus life. But if we are going to seek a holistic healing in our life, then we're also going to have to grow in our honesty, not just about sins, although that's important, but about all the rest. All the sorrows, all the struggles, all the shame. We have to have those people in our lives with whom we don't feel we have to answer every time they ask with, fine, how are you? Because that's the default answer, and I understand that, because I'm not just going to open up to anyone, but there does need to be someone, some of those people in our lives for whom we can share, this is an aching sorrow that I can't get past. This is an open wound that does not want to close and heal. Over the last month or so, if you followed the news at all, you have heard the horrors of the actions of Harvey Weinstein, movie mogul, who has been a truly sick individual and acted out in really sick ways, and it sounds like it's happened over decades and decades. There's been abuse, there has been harassment, there has been assault. It is a person in power who has abused their power, and there is a wake of people behind him who are trying to pick up the pieces. And part of the sad revelation that's come from that is that this is not an isolated kind of occurrence, that this kinds of thing keeps happening all the time in our society, that there is far too much abuse that goes on. And I know that for some of you in this room, this is not just a hypothetical conversation. This is something that you've dealt with. This is something you've faced. I know for a fact that some of you have been on the receiving end of abuse. And if there has been at least one good thing that has come out of all of this awfulness, it's that more people have found the courage to be able to acknowledge what they thought they had to hide in shame. That they were abused, that they were victimized, that it wasn't something they looked for, it wasn't something they wanted. And I want to say a couple of things this morning. If you have been on the receiving end of that, we see you and we acknowledge your pain and we support you in your efforts for healing and we are here for you. Because the reality is when we live in the kind of world that we live in, people bear sorrow and people bear shame. And sometimes we have to deal with problems that are of our own making, and sometimes we're dealing with problems that we did not cause, that we did not bring about. And right up there with the awfulness of abuse is the feeling that we sometimes have to hide in the shame of the suffering that we've experienced. I started out with Psalm 32. It's a psalm of David in which he talks about the pain and the heavy weight of unconfessed sin and how it makes him feel like his bones are wasting away and he's groaning all day and his strength is sapped as in the heat of summer. And that's a powerful image of the suffocating effects of sin, but I would also tell you that that's an apt image of the suffocating effects of loneliness, of sorrow, of depression, of being a victim or abused, where we feel that weight pressing down, as if we can't catch our breath, as if we've lost our energy to move forward. And just as David found that there is liberation and healing in confession, I would tell you that there can be healing in sharing these struggles that we go through. In confessing our sorrow, in being honest about our shame. And so here's the next challenge, which is really an invitation. Find a person, maybe it's that same person, with whom you can be honest about your sorrows, about the wounds that you bear and the scars that you carry with you. You don't have to go it alone. You don't have to suffer alone. If you're struggling with a rocky marriage, if someone you love is addicted to something and it is affecting not just them, but you and your family. If you're wrestling with doubt, if you're lost in depression, if you're struggling with a rebellious child, if you're dealing with loneliness or grief, don't let it grow and fester in the shadows. Don't let that shame grow in the darkness. Share it. Let someone else in on it. Let others help you in the process. And here's our final challenge as we end this morning. And that is commit to become someone with whom others feel safe to confess. I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be a pretending church. I'm fine, how are you kind of church. I want to be a confessing church. I want to be an honest church, a church that truly believes that the truth can set us free. I don't want to just talk about healing. I want to help one another in that journey of healing, and I want your help in that journey of healing. A church that loves and listens and empathizes and encourages and supports. So here's a few ideas that might help us in those efforts. When someone shares a sin, don't judge, don't shame, acknowledge the plank in your eye before attempting to perform spec surgery on them. Yes, you want them to find healing, but you need it too. So seek healing together. And then follow up again and again, because one conversation rarely leads to transformation. It's relationship over time, not just one moment of getting it off our chest. And when someone shares a struggle, a sorrow, a tough experience that they've been through, maybe a time when they've experienced victimization or abuse, don't minimize it. Don't downplay it. Don't try to one-up it with your issues. You think that's bad. Don't try to add a silver lining to that thing. Don't go for the quick fix. Affirm. Acknowledge. Mourn with those who mourn. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then follow up after a little bit of time, after a long time, because one conversation rarely leads to transformation. It is relationship over a long time, that journeying together. We live in a broken world, and all of us experience brokenness in our lives. Let's stop hiding. Let's stop pretending. Let's start confessing. Because it is when we bring all that we are into the light that the healing can begin.